Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival, and we're here with Warwick Thornton. Good morning.
Hello.
Director of Sweet Country. With your movie, we are in the realm of Western, but of Australian Western. So yeah. Another slightly different from the classic Western we are used to watch.
The American or the Italian.
Or the Italians.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which one of the of Westerns were more inspiring to you?
The Italian Westerns.
Really? Why that?
The characters were naughtier, cheekier. Mm-hmm. John Wayne was the perfect hero. Morally, would never do anything. But in Sergio, I've forgotten his name, the director of the Trinity series, Gabucci. They were naughty, they were dirty, they were real. You know, I grew up in Alice Springs in the desert. You know what I mean? I grew up with those characters who, you know, sometimes will steal the apple from the baby. You know what I mean? But because they're hungry.
Actually, the characters in your film, there is no only good one or only bad one.
Yeah.
Each one of them has different shades, dark, slightly darker, slightly lighter, but every different shades of humanity, as you say.
And it has to be, hey? You know what I mean? We understand that there is that certain side of cinema where everything is tent-poled, and, you know, we have the good and we have the bad and we have a wall in between. But life's not like that. I am good, I am bad. You know, I have bad times. I'm sometimes a bad person, sometimes a good person. I won't tell you when, but, you know, but it's truthful for me. And, you know, and that's, even in the darkest human, there is good. There is a light that burns, that it's beautiful, and we have to recognize that. So I think, you know, character development, even if a person only ever shows the bad side of them, somewhere inside their audience should really recognize something beautiful or something good, a hope. For the worst people in the world, there is hope.
I understand. Mm. What inspired you to tell us this story specifically? Because the story of this Aborigines man Sam and all the struggles he has to go through.
Yeah. Well, you know, loving Westerns. I didn't write this film. A friend of mine, Stephen McGregor, wrote it. And it's the first time I've directed a film that I haven't written. And that was a bit scary. Because when you read the script and it's written by someone else, you go, oh, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? I can't, you know what I mean? It's like you're trying to, logistically trying to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you realize, oh, they wrote it. They gave it to me. I can change it.
You did change a lot?
No, a little bit. The hard bits. I changed the hard bits in the movie to make them easier. But it was, but the reason why to do the film is because I come from the desert. I make movies. It's a new form of indigenous storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I thought this is my past, my family's past, mm-hmm. just as much as anybody else's. So it's important for me to...
Something similar to what happens to Sam happened to somebody in your family or that you knew?
Yeah,
or,
you know,
that your family
yeah,
knew
well, you know, I'm Aboriginal from Central Australia, and all our land was taken by the pastoralists, the empire, the British took all our land, and then they made us, made all my family work for free, you know, as like slave labour, you know, just for rations.
Which was really strange to us to watch because we didn't know about that. I mean, I actually personally didn't know.
No, they couldn't buy us, but they could make us work for free.
Which was even better for them, you know, because it was cheaper.
Yeah, totally. They didn't have to pay for us, yeah.
Exactly.
But we still had to work for free.
It was even meaner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, so that's my past. So after reading the script, this is my family's past. So this is really important for me to tell this story, you know.
There are two aspects of your directing that really that were intriguing to me in your films. This film, the first one was the editing, because you chose a certain kind of editing that was even more narrative than usual. Mm-hmm. You insert like scenes, very short scene, silent scenes that were like either telling something that happened or something that was supposed to happen.
Yeah,
that was intriguing, but sometimes slightly more demanding as a viewer. Why did you choose to do that?
I think it helped with the characters. You know, we always talk about flashbacks. Mm-hmm. We never really talk about flash forwards. But in our mind, we think of the future just as much as we think of the past.
Yeah.
So it's a develop a character. When we've got a character who's like quite a bad person, for them to be thinking of their future and their past, I think helps develop a much more complicated and a much more. That's where like with a Fletcher or a Kennedy, the characters. When they look to their future, there's sort of, you're looking at something of their soul that that's that little light in front of him. Mm-hmm. You know, when we flash forward to the ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when he's in the water. You know, that kind of idea. It helps develop a much more dynamic character rather than the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I understand.
And if we're going to go backwards, we should go forwards because our brains think.
But weren't you afraid of spoiling something to the audience with the forward one?
I understood that there could be a problem, and so I recognized it. But what I did was I made sure that even though there is in the film near the beginning, there's sequences from the end of the film, but I made sure that they actually asked questions, not gave answers. Mm-hmm. They just created more questions.
More curiosity.
Curiosity to keep you enticed into the film.
I understand.
Yeah.
And the other aspect that was weird was there was no music at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single sound.
When I read the script, it was one of those instant sort of, I said, I don't want a score in this film. Because I wanted to hear the country, because the country is the character, it's got a soul in the mm-hmm. film, and, you know, I love scores, I love music, and I love composers, and the next film might have it in it, but this film specifically, no, because there was a truth, a much harder truth to the film, and I felt that if I were to put some opera, some cellos, and some violins, I would lose the truth of the country, and the audience being in... the audience being in the moment in that scene. As soon as I put music in, I think you fall away. And sometimes music for me is very dangerous because you're trying to tell the audience how to feel mm-hmm. emotionally, sad, happy. Yeah. You know, and I think that's very dangerous. And audiences are much smarter than that. And if you've done your job well enough as a director, you don't need music.
To be manipulative.
Yeah, you don't need to be manipulative. You should do it smarter ways as a director. So I had all those choices. And I like, even if I had $100 million, I always like to create problems for myself as a director. You know what I mean? Because problems create creativity. If you don't have much money, you do things much more creative. You know what I mean? So I like that kind of idea, of movie making. So, okay, no music in this film, so I've got a big problem. I have to work a lot more with the sound, with the atmospheres. Mm-hmm. I have to think about what the atmospheres are, motively, not using them as the score. But, you know, all of that stuff I have to take into place before I make the film. And that excites me in a way. Problems excite
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you were excited well enough for this movie because the film is perfect to me.
Thank you.
It was a great film. Thank you very much, Warwick Thornton, the director of Sweet Country. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.